WJMM FM Keene.
The following program is sponsored by Jeremiah Johnson Ministries.
Good morning. God bless you. This is Jeremiah Johnson with Good News in the Morning, and I just want to greet you today, and I just want to remind you that God loves you, and He has loved you with an everlasting love, and He has been drawing on you your entire life, and His goal is to know you and for you to know Him. His goal is always relationship. Now, what's awesome about God is He values you before you value Him. He loves you before you love Him. He is the initiator of the relationship. He's the one that pursues you. He's the one that comes after you. He's the one that is the hero in our story of redemption. And so before you love Him, He loves you. And before you value Him, He values you. And that is one of the things that makes it such a beautiful thing. You know, you're not trying to earn God's love. You're not trying to prove your worth or your value. The scripture declares that He loved us even when we were still His enemies. And that's so true in my own life. I was drug addict, alcoholic, atheist, crazy man, and, you know, was very much against God, anti-God. And yet God pursued me and came after me and found me and wooed me. And here I am still now, you know, I preach the gospel that I used to attack. And so it's just so important to understand that the power of this one-sided relationship. Now, it doesn't stay one-sided, you know. The end game is that you would love Him back with the love that He first loved you with. But He is the initiator. He is the one that comes after you. And that's why in understanding that is so key, because I think sometimes we can understand that His love for us when we first come to Him. But then what can happen is that we can start to try to establish our own worth and value based upon our obedience, based upon the things that we do. And as a result of that, many times in our own mind, we can reach the conclusion that God doesn't love us, or God is disappointed in us or mad at us and doesn't value us. And that is that's a dangerous mindset. That is the perspective of the carnal mind. That's not the spiritual mind. That's not the way God thinks. And He doesn't want us to think like that either. But it's funny how when we begin in grace, and because there's no other way to begin, you can't begin any other way. You don't really bring anything to the table when God saves you. You're in a state of humility. You're in a state of need, and you call out upon the name of the Lord, and you basically are functioning in a surrender and saying, Lord, I need you. I need help. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for my sins, and you were raised again from the dead. And so, you know, we all begin in this place of grace, but then many times what can happen is we leave it, and we start to establish our own sense of value and worth based upon what we do. And we leave kind of the romance element of redemption, and we become a person that establishes our own righteousness through our conduct or our behavior or our deeds, and thereby establishes our own sense of self-worth. And then there's a lot of different metrics that you can weigh yourself in depending upon your background, depending upon where you're at. But at the end of the day, none of those things really mean anything. They're wood, hay, and stubble. The reality is that God loved you deeply and passionately before you ever acknowledged Him or knew Him. And this is the plan. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when it says the world, it means everybody in the world. And it doesn't just mean the good people. It doesn't just even mean the Christians. It means that God's heart towards the entire world is, I see value in you, I want you, and I am here to redeem you. And that's why the plan of redemption was so powerful, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God took the entire sin of the entire world and took it within Himself on the cross, and He became one with that sin. He died its death. He died our death, and then He was raised again from the dead, showing that the penalty had been paid in full, that the fullness of sin's ransom had been taken care of, and that he laid it to rest, and now he's seated at the right hand of Father God in heaven. And now God's invitation to the entire world is a message of reconciliation. It's a, I love you, come home, receive. And we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, we just simply receive that outstretched hand of salvation that is the Lord Jesus, and then we're pulled into him, and we surrender, and then we become right with God, and then we function in that place as children of God for the rest of our existence, which is an eternal existence. It's the best news in the world. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to leave that place of grace and go over into trying to establish our own sense of self-worth, because what that does is it makes us more conscious of ourselves than of our Savior. And we begin to look at ourselves and start trying to determine what we have earned, what we deserve, and we start to measure ourselves. And when you are measuring yourself and your own sense of worth, most of the time it ends up being about comparison. So you're comparing yourself to other people. And then what that turns into is jealousy and competition. Carnality, this is a fleshly endeavor. I love to say this wherever I minister out, is that there's no one in this room that's any better than anybody else. And that is a very true statement. We are not earning our salvation. We're not earning our self-worth. We're not earning our righteousness. This is a gift. And the hero of our story, once again, is not ourselves. The hero is the Lord Jesus. And when we leave a Christ-centered, Jesus-focused lifestyle, the lifestyle of his grace, and we start to try to establish our own righteousness through our conduct and our behavior and our own sense of self-worth, we are, as the Galatian church, we are turning our back on the Lord, and we are trying to embrace another gospel, which is not actually a gospel. We focus on the good news here on this this show, whether you're listening to it live on the radio or you're listening to it on a podcast or however you're listening to it. That's what we focus on. And the good news is that Jesus is our hero and he saves us. But like the Galatian church, when we start to try to establish our own righteousness, we're beginning to function in the flesh, and we're no longer operating in faith and trust. We're trying to cut a side covenant with God. We're trying to approach God with what we earn, what we deserve. And that's a dangerous place, and you don't really want that. You want your heart to trust fully in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to trust fully that his death, burial, and resurrection was enough, and to trust that he has become your righteousness, and that God loves you, and you have a sense of you have worth because the Father has declared that you have worth. And then what that will do, you understanding that and being established in that, it will establish a healthy place of safe relationship with God where you can function as a child, and you and he will be your father, and he will help you, he will love you, he will correct you, he will father you, and he will lead you into a lifestyle of good works. He will lead you into a lifestyle of the expression of love towards him and also towards the people around you. So your conduct and your behavior is very important. God wants us to produce fruit. Fruit is very important to God. It's always been his plan that we would be fruitful. And a portion of our fruitfulness as children of God is that we are bringing forth the nature of his son Jesus that we received by faith through grace when we were born again, and that the righteousness that has been placed within us as a gift will start to display itself on the outside of us as fruit, that our actions and our behavior would align to his will, and we would represent him well on the earth, that even as he walked, we also too would walk, so that people could see us and know that we were different, that we were salt, that we were light, that we were children of God. But that's always his strength. That's always his grace. That's always ultimately his life flowing through us. And if we enter into New Testament disobedience and we're not functioning in the obedience of faith and we're not trusting in what Jesus has done on the cross, then our hearts, we will begin to function in unbelief, and we'll start to try to establish our own righteousness, which is dead works. And so we can be doing the right thing outwardly, but if we're doing it with a heart motivation of trying to prove our worth or value or establish our rightness before God, then those actions are not based in faith and love. Those actions are actually based in doubt and unbelief. And so even though the actions may look good outwardly, inwardly, they're actually filled with death and they're in a place of disobedience. God is more interested in why you do what you do than he is in just what you do. God's always after our motives, because when the inside of the cup is clean, the outside of the cup is clean as well. But we can have a clean outside of the cup, but inwardly, our motives cannot be good, and we can be functioning in a place of unbelief. And it always comes back to Jesus. It always comes back to what Jesus has done. And when we can trust that Jesus is our righteousness, when we can trust that God does love us and that we do have value in his eyes, then our good works can become a response to his love, not an attempt to earn his love. This is the difference between law and grace. This is the difference between an old covenant mindset and a new covenant mindset. This is the difference between being spiritually minded and being carnally minded. And it's so important that we get established in this reality, and not just established in it in the sense that we know it with a head knowledge. We want to be functioning out of it in our hearts. That will require a regular hearing of the good news of the gospel. And that's why in the book of Romans, Paul said, "So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you in Rome also." Now, he spoke this to believers. This was not unbelievers. He spoke it to believers. And so just like you need to breathe in oxygen, just like your heart needs to continue to beat, we all need to be reminded that as children of God, as born-again believers, Jesus is our righteousness, and we have a right standing with God that is out of a source of his work and not our own. When we are established in that, when we're functioning in that, when we're trusting in that, when we're believing that, we are in the place of faith. And then what happens is our motives are purified, and we can start to express love, and that is really what we want. We want to be walking in love in our marriages, with our children, with our friends, co-workers, even our enemies. God has called us to love our enemies. Excuse me. God's not called us to be like everybody else. That's what really makes us different, is that fruit of love. And out of love, there's joy, there's peace, there's kindness, there's goodness, all these wonderful things, all the characters, the characteristics of Jesus and the character of Christ flowing through us. But we'll never have that if we don't start in that initial place of the obedience of faith. And that is trusting that Jesus did a good job, that your sins and lawless deeds he will remember no more, that he that knew no sin became sin so you could become the righteousness of God in him. The heart of God is revealed. It says, "Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God." God has shown us his love. God has made a way for us to be his children. And we don't do it. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's not a moralistic ladder that we climb. We're not white-knuckling the wheel of our salvation. We're not forcing God to do things through our own goodness. No, we are in a state of rescue. We are in a state of surrender. We are in a state of trust. And as we can trust in the success of what Jesus did, as we can trust in the success of the cross and the resurrection, that we are living in a state of freedom and forgiveness, and that we're abiding under his grace, it will allow the Holy Spirit to begin to write his laws in our mind and upon our hearts. And then we will start to express this eternal love that we first received. But it's so important to understand this. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We receive it. We enjoy it. And that is why it is good, good news.
Thanks for joining us today on Good News in the Morning with Pastor Jeremiah Johnson. This program relies on your faithful prayer and financial support. If this program blessed you today, you can use the text to give number at 844-994-4048 to make a donation. If you'd like to invite him to speak, please email bookjeremiahjohnson@gmail.com. To listen to the radio show anytime as a podcast and even more teaching and exclusive content, download the Jeremiah Johnson Ministries app. And if you'd like to see him speak in person, Grace Point Church in Georgetown always welcomes you, located at 3185 Newtown Pike.
This is Pastor Anthony Artis with Dedicated Believers Ministries, and you're listening to Life Changing Radio 99.1 FM WJMM.
The following program on Life 99 WJMM is paid for by Hope Is Here Ministries.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. Want to look at another